Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're talking lithium with Bernard Rowe. He's Ioneer USA Corp president, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada is suffering because of reckless Washington spending. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto voted to allow hundreds of millions of dollars of COVID relief funds to be wasted on frivolous projects not in Nevada. A luxury resort in Florida, soccer stadium in New Jersey, skiing in Iowa, a poet in Connecticut, French operas in Washington, D.C. We need help in Nevada, not silly spending in other states. Tell Senator Cortez Masto to start voting against wasteful spending to stop inflation.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years.
Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
With Nevada's only transplant center and verified burn center, the science is here. With award-winning cardiologist and the state's only dedicated heart failure clinic, the talent is here. With Nevada's most advanced robotic surgery, the technology is here. And with the Silver State's only designated pediatric trauma center, hope is here. All because we are here. UMC.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, it is a pleasure to welcome back to the program Bernard Rowe. He is the USA Corp president of Ioneer. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Delighted to be here.
So, a lot of good news coming for you in terms of business. So explain what you're doing with some of these large companies that desire your lithium.
That's right, it has. We've had a really great run recently. It's the culmination, though, of, you know, several years of really hard work after we finished our feasibility study. One of the main things we've been concentrating on is making sure we place the lithium that we produce into the US domestic supply chain. And to that end, what we've done is an offtake agreement with Ford, where we would supply 7,000 tonnes of lithium carbonate to Ford to go into electric vehicles to be manufactured here in the United States. And we've also recently announced a similar offtake agreement with Prime Planet Energy Solutions, which is the joint venture company between Toyota and Panasonic. So again, these agreements are about domestic production and ensuring that our lithium ends up in the US supply chain, not just for making vehicles here, but also the cathodes and the batteries that go with it. Which obviously is a really, you know, a hot topic, if you like, and an important focus for governments around the world.
Okay, and you know, how much of the product that you're going to be able to deliver is going to be pre-sold at this point? Because that's got to be fabulous.
Yeah, so our initial lithium production will be about 21 to 22,000 tonnes per year. And of that, we have about 18,000 tonnes under these binding offtake agreements. So, you know, roughly three quarters of it will be under these binding offtake agreements. And these are not just memorandums of understanding or letters of intent. They're full binding, bankable offtake agreements.
Okay, so what does that do for investors? I mean, does that just send you through the roof?
Yeah, it does. It puts us in a fantastic position because
sorry to throw you that softball, but I mean, it just seems, you know, if I'm somebody who's manufacturing something and three quarters of my product is already out the door before I've even opened the mine, that's a pretty good deal.
Yes, it is, and really it's essential for securing debt funding for this project.
Right.
So we're aiming to secure about 50% of the capital required through debt and the other 50% through equity, which we actually already have through our partner, Sibanye. So on the debt side of things, 50% of the capex coming from debt providers, and in order to have those debt providers, you need bankable binding offtake agreements, and that's exactly what we've put in place.
Okay, now we've talked before about the federal government and national security issues. Is the federal government looking to be able to absorb some of this as well?
Yes, they are. Not so much the product, but certainly the fact that it's going to go into US domestic supply chain, I think, is exactly what the federal government want to see and we want to see. In terms of their sort of participation or potential involvement in the project, the main area there of focus for them is through the Department of Energy Loan Programs Office, and Ioneer, I believe, was the first lithium project to be invited into the final sort of formal stage of due diligence within that Loan Programs Office. That was in December of last year. Most of this year, the last 6 or 7 months, we've been doing detailed due diligence with the Department of Energy, and so whilst we don't have a final decision yet, we're reasonably confident, particularly with these offtake agreements in place and the pilot plant that we've completed and the bankable feasibility that we did with Fluor, that we're actually in a really good position. Fluor Engineering.
Fluor, okay.
Yeah, Fluor Daniel, it was the original name, but they're our engineering company that manage the engineering procurement and construction.
Is DOD talking to you? Because it would seem that the military, would want to be moving into electric vehicles, sooner than later.
Yes, and we have had discussions with, including over the last couple of years, really, and recent discussions with them. When I was in June in DC with James Calloway, our chairman, we did have meetings with the Department of Defense. And certainly both lithium and boron are both materials that the Department of Defense wants to see domestic production. And I think it's important to remember that we're starting from an incredibly low base in the United States. There is essentially no domestic lithium production.
Right.
5,000 tons in a market that's going to require hundreds of thousands of tons and leading towards 1 million tons. And today we only produce 5,000. So it's almost meaningless.
Well, and also just to stick with the Department of Defense portion for a moment, and the military in general, as I've been talking to military contractors lately, and these are international military contractors based in the United States, they're saying that at this point in time, the federal government is asking all of them to produce as much product as they can, because all of the stuff that's being used in Ukraine has got to be backfilled. And
yes.
So there's going to be a huge need for us to get our armaments back to where they need to be.
Yes, that's true. Lithium and boron and other commodities are used for military applications, no question, and those materials need to be replaced as they're used. And I think the Department of Defense has also been, putting a spotlight on making sure there is strategic supply and stockpiles in place. So, yes, it's definitely on the radar, and we're definitely part of that conversation.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more with Bernard Rowe. He is the Ioneer USA Corporation president. We'll be right back after this timeout.
Leaders find solutions. Politicians are part of the problem. Take Catherine Cortez Masto and Adam Laxalt. Cortez Masto co-sponsored a bill capping insulin costs. Adam Laxalt called a plan that caps costs reckless. No surprise, Laxalt is personally invested in big drug companies. When they make money, he makes money. That's the difference. Catherine Cortez Masto is lowering the cost of drugs. Adam Laxalt sells out and cashes in. S&P is responsible for the content of this ad.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
I'm here at the Carson Valley Inn in Mendham with Joey Whitaker. Entertainment here at the Carson Valley Inn is extraordinary.
Yeah, super proud of the TJ's Corral, our outdoor venue, about 1,500 seats. We've had first-class entertainment out there. We've had Merle Haggard, we've had Chris Young, we've had Lee Bryce a couple times, we've had Pat Benatar, Joan Jett, who's in the Hall of Fame. We're real proud out there, and it's just a great time. Watch CarsonValleyInn.com. And grab those tickets early. It's not a long way to get away to the Carson Valley Inn.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Bernard Rowe. He is Ioneer USA Corporation President. Lithium is getting all the glamour, but boron is another critical mineral that it should be on people's radars as well. Explain the role of boron.
So boron is actually used in a myriad of applications, but broadly, I would sort of categorize it as three different areas. Firstly, it's used in the energy sector for insulation, glass, solar paneling, in electric motors. So it's another energy-related material, and particularly this energy transition away from the traditional fossil fuels. It's critical for that. It's also used in agriculture as a micronutrient and very widely used. So it helps production of agricultural product for the food industry. And finally, it's used in military applications, and more broadly than that, actually, in steel, boron steel and boron carbide, boron ceramic materials. Now, they are used for armor plating, they're used in protective vests, etc. So there's a large consumption, rather, of that in military plus energy sectors plus agriculture.
So what percentage of what you'll be able to produce lithium-wise has a spin-off into boron?
So the boron that we will produce is about 9 to 10 times as much boron as lithium.
Oh, really?
In terms of tons.
Yeah.
So 1 ton of lithium will result in 9 to 10 tons of boric acid. So it's a lot. We will produce a lot. About 30% of our revenue will come from boron. So it's not a byproduct, it's a co-product. And most of that will be sold initially into the glass and agricultural and these boron ceramics, boron carbide type areas. So it's a very important part of our business. And it's very strategic as well, because about 70%+ of the world's reserves of boron are located in Turkey. So without new production, we're going to become more and more reliant on Turkey, and obviously that's not a good thing to be solely reliant on a country that's a long way away and that has got some history of difficulty with us. So,
to say the least.
I think it's important that we have further, particularly domestic production, but also just simply diversification of that Turkish supply.
There's an irony, too, for Afghanistan, for example, where I think it was probably 5-10 years ago, the New York Times did a big story on that there was $1 trillion worth of critical minerals in the northern part of Afghanistan. Mm. We're never going to see those.
No, probably not. And I think, there's certainly something that we can't rely on.
To say the least.
I think that's right. I would sort of question really not only the practicality of it, but we haven't even seen the economics demonstrated of any of those things. So there's often talked about supply here and supply there, but until the work is done, like we've done at Rhyolite Ridge, and demonstrating economics, it's hard to really take that seriously.
Yeah, it's kind of like saying, well, there's going to be critical minerals on Mars.
Yes.
But it's going to take a while to be able to get those back. So what is this doing? We're seeing inflation and everything else. Are we seeing inflation in the value of your lithium and boron?
Yes, we are. I mean, there's no doubt that costs are rising. Transportation costs,
sure.
Fuel costs, labor costs, they're all rising. And certainly we're seeing significantly higher prices because of that inflation, but also particularly for lithium, just simply that incredibly strong demand and the widening gap between supply and demand. And you know, if I turn the clock back, when I started working on this particular project, it was in 2016. I'd been in Nevada for a long time before that, as you know. But in 2016, we were using $6,000 as a price, assumed price for lithium per ton of lithium carbonate. The spot market today is over 70,000 tons.
Wow.
$70,000 a ton.
Yeah.
So more than 10 times. Now that's a spot market, but even if you look at what most...
And for those that may not know, that means if you want to buy it today rather than a long-term contract.
Correct. If you just wanted some tons today, that's the sort of number that you're going to be talking about. But you know, if you look at analysts, banks, etc., and other companies that sort of monitor these sorts of supply, demand, and price projections, the consensus is around about $20,000 a ton. So you know, even just in 6 years, we've moved from using a $6,000 pricing assumption to using a high teens to $20,000 a ton. So that's not all been driven by inflation. That's been driven by incredibly strong demand and a shortage of supply.
Right.
And that's going to continue through the rest of this decade.
Through the rest of this decade and potentially and beyond. I mean, you know, I've said on the program, and this is not your opinion, this is my opinion, you know, I just think we're moving so fast to get to this world where we go away from fossil fuels. I get the concept, I understand the dangers, but at the same time, the reality is that we need to have, you know, a longer time period for lots of reasons, including stranded assets from the power company. You know, the public is paying for these things over 30 years.
Mm.
They can't just say, okay, let's shut down that natural gas plant. It doesn't make sense.
No, that's right. I mean, there's absolutely has to be transition. And, you know, the raw materials, particularly for lithium, that they exist in the ground, but it takes time to develop these assets, you know. And we've spent 6 years already. We've spent more than $100 million on all the necessary engineering, design, piloting, these offtake agreements. You know, to do an offtake agreement, for example, requires you to produce the materials so that you can give samples to the companies that you're dealing with so they can see what the product looks like that you're going to produce. It's not just simply a matter of negotiating an agreement. All of that takes time. Permitting takes time. And, you know, Australia does an excellent job, which is obviously where my background comes from, in permitting mines. We've got a very good mining industry and a very good system for permitting mines. And Australia, I think, is now 60% of the world's production of lithium comes out of Australia. 5 or 6 years ago, it was only about 40%. Permitting and developing new projects takes longer in the United States. It takes a long time in Chile and Argentina as well, which are the other large producers of lithium. So you're right, it's not just let's shut down this and turn on that. That's not going to happen.
No,
it's a transition.
And I remember talking to a redevelopment officer for the city of Reno 30 years ago, and saying, how long does redevelopment actually take? Because everybody was saying, well, we got to redevelop and get it done.
Mm.
And he said, 20 to 30 years.
Mm.
I mean, you can't look in these short timelines. You know,
no.
People want their Amazon packages, you know, in an hour or two.
Mm.
And development doesn't work that way.
No, exactly. That's right.
Let's take another break. We'll be back more talking about Ioneer Corp and what they're doing down in central Nevada after this timeout.
Nevada is suffering because of reckless Washington spending. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto voted to allow hundreds of millions of dollars of COVID relief funds to be wasted on frivolous projects not in Nevada. A luxury resort in Florida, soccer stadium in New Jersey, skiing in Iowa, a poet in Connecticut, French operas in Washington, D.C. We need help in Nevada, not silly spending in other states. Tell Senator Cortez Masto to start voting against wasteful spending to stop inflation.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on two floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue with a conversation with Bernard Rowe. He is the Ioneer USA Corps president. Of course, we always have to bring up what has been, I don't want to say a thorn in the side of the company, because I think the company has really responded well to this, but the whole concept of Teams Buckwheat, and what you've done to mitigate concerns about this. So share with us, because it seems like from the last time we were on till now, you've done a lot to mitigate the problems.
Yes, we have. And actually, the way I like to describe it is, you know, we apply the same effort, the same conviction to Teams Buckwheat as we do all other aspects of this project, whether it be the engineering, the piloting, these offtake agreements we were talking about. You know, we approach the buckwheat issue in exactly the same way. We're very serious about it. We have been right from day one. You know, we've probably been spending in the order of now $2 million on researching and conservation of buckwheat. And I would say that's way more than anyone else has spent.
And in cooperation with UNR, correct?
In cooperation with UNR, in cooperation with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. All of our information, research, data that we produce, we provide to them, the Fish and Wildlife Service, so it's fully transparent. I think it's too often in the media that it gets mentioned that you know, that the Rhyolite Ridge mine will result in the extinction of this plant. We strongly object to that, and in fact it's exact opposite. And if you really look at the crux of the issue, it's a rare plant. Yes, we recognise that. It needs special conservation measures. We're willing to do that and fund that ourselves, and that's exactly what we're doing. But really, the real threats to the plant are not the mine at all. The real threats to the plant are drought, fire, herbivory that we saw a few years ago, which really relates to fire. Which really relates to drought. But I mean, a lot of things relate back to drought.
I've never heard that word before. Herbivory. What does that mean?
Herbivory is when animals eat herbivores. Herbivores eat the plant, and they eat buckwheat, and they did a few years ago, and they eat other plants as well. And normally, it's, you know, buckwheat is not something that we've seen the small animals eat at this location. It has happened before. It has been documented before, so this was not the first time. It's just not regular. But what it coincided with was an extended period of drought. And so you had a large population of these herbivores, this is what we believe, and they were looking for food. Now, these things are real and present threats. The mine's not a threat, it doesn't exist today, and yet the threats are still there today, and Ioneer's doing something about them. We're growing thousands of seedlings in nurseries. We've done that through the UNR, but we're also building our own dedicated greenhouse to Teams Buckwheat. It's an easy plant to grow, that's the fact. And it doesn't, contrary to what some people have said, it doesn't need lithium nor boron to grow. Our seedlings are growing just fine in soils that have no lithium, no boron, and none of the other elements, quite standard sort of soils.
Okay, and you're actually building the mine away from the area where you're conserving the plant, is that correct?
That is correct. So our initial application, what's called a plan of operation, we did ask to move some of the plants, okay, and we had pushback on that. So we listened to the Fish and Wildlife and their concerns. We accepted that there were some knowledge gaps and that we were better to not push ahead with those plans. So instead, we modified our plan of operation so that we have no direct impact. We're not moving any plants. We're not having any direct impact on any of those plants. We have a buffer zone around it. Those buffer zones will be fenced, and the mine will not touch any of those buckwheat. And in addition to that, we're going to continue these conservation measures, which will deal with all threats to the plant, which we think are the much greater threats, and in fact the mine's the solution, not the problem in this case.
Well, let me ask you this then. Next question is obvious. When we have such a worker shortage, how are you doing as far as hiring, and where are you going to house these people when they come? Because how many people are you going to need for the mine?
That's a very good question, and it's not an easy problem to solve, to have an easy solution to. There's not. So we've been planning early. I mean, we're still, probably about a year away from commencing construction. That's what we're hoping, subject to permitting. It'll take us 2 years to build, so really we're sort of 3 years out before we would have this operation in production and producing lithium and boron. We'll need about 200 to 250 direct jobs at the mine, and we're going to have to recruit those people. Now, it's a bit early to go on a full recruitment.
Sure.
But we are building the team. We have now 30 people working, approximately 30 people working out of our Reno office. We've got people that are focused specifically on that, building the team, and also planning around where they're going to live. And the simple answer to where are they going to live, they'll be spread around. They're not all going to be in Fish Lake Valley. Some will be in other surrounding towns like Tonopah, Hawthorne. Some will be sort of, drive in, drive out, and we will spread that 250 people around the community.
You know what we call that? Economic development.
Economic development, actually.
and that's where we have to leave it.
Exactly.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Congratulations on all the successes and working your way through all these issues, and we'll see you back here soon and get an update on this.
Thank you, Sam. Pleasure, and I'll look forward to coming back.
Thank you, and we'll be right back.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also check our archive going back to 2005 on our website, again, NevadaNewsmakers.com. We'll see you on the next show.